The time is 6 o'clock. This is Radio Ghana, the news presented by Samuel Issa
and Doreen Ampofu.
In the headlines, police arrest a national security officer for alleged murder of former NPP vice chairman for Dom constituency. Suspected murderer of 32-year-old Stanbic Bank female staff faces provisional charge of murder after pleading guilty. Minister of Lands and Natural Resources cautions against dealings with so-called estate developers and the sale of lands. Egyptians vote on new constitution to pave the way for fresh elections. Pope Francis condemns abortion, describing it as horrific symptom of throwaway culture. In football, Portuguese striker Ronaldo finally wins FIFA Player of the Year award. First, a summary by Doreen Ampofu.
A national security officer has been arrested for the suspected murder of former NPP vice chairman for Dom constituency, Patrick Opokuba, in June 2009. The suspect, Wahab Napa, and two other accomplices attacked the house of Mr. Opokuba and robbed him of his cash and other personal belongings before shooting him dead. A 25-year-old welder, Abraham Ba Kwame Oyote, suspected to have murdered a 32-year-old Stanbic Bank staff, Rosemon Nyampong, in a residence at Batuna, has confessed and pleaded guilty. The police said the suspect made the confession after further interrogations. He has therefore been charged with provisional murder and again remanded in prison custody by the Tema Magistrate Court. The Minister of Lands and Natural Resources, Alhaji Yunusa Fuseni, has asked potential land buyers to be critical on land titles before purchasing land. This, according to him, will minimize multiple steal of lands to unsuspecting individuals. And Egyptians are to vote on a new constitution which would pave the way for fresh elections. The new constitution aims at replacing the one passed under the former president, Mohamed Morsi, months before he was ousted by the army. Reports say the military wants a strong yes vote as a popular endorsement of Mr. Morsi's removal.
Radio Ghana, meeting the news challenge with credible information.
The news in detail. A national security officer, Wahab Napa, is being held for the murder of former NPP vice chairman for the Dom constituency, Patrick Opokuba. Wahab and two other accomplices attacked the house of Mr. Opokuba in June 2009 and robbed him of his cash and other personal belongings before shooting him dead. A German national who was being hosted by Mr. Opokuba at the time was also robbed and shot, but she survived. One of the accomplices, Haji Matete Koli, was arrested last November after he was heard boasting that he was a contract killer and went further to mention Mr. Opokuba as one of his victims. Unknown to him, the conversation was recorded and later forwarded to the police. He was subsequently picked up and he led the police to arrest the national security operative. The two are also facing charges of robbery and possession of narcotic drug and have been remanded in police custody.
The 25-year-old welder Abraham Ba Kwame Oyote, suspected to have murdered the 32-year-old Stanbic Bank staff, Rosemon Nyampong, in her residence at Batuna, has again been remanded in prison custody by the Tema Magistrate Court. The suspect pleaded guilty and was provisionally charged with murder. The prosecutor, Chief Inspector Xavier Okang, told the court, presided over by Isaac Ejay, that the suspect confessed committing the act during further investigation. He said when the case was called initially in an open court, both the complainant and the suspect were not present. Chief Inspector Okang said the case was therefore heard in camera due to the behavior of the parties in their first appearance in court. The accused, Abraham Ba Kwame Oyote, who was arrested at Dumasi Kobo, appeared before the court on the 23rd of last month. Chief Inspector Okang said the docket has been sent to the Attorney General's office for further advice. The accused will reappear on the 13th of next month.
The families of the four persons who were shot dead during the coronation of the Odikru of Ekunfe Sache Nana Ifel have requested the police to release their bodies to them for burial as soon as possible. This is because the town is a Muslim community and has to follow its religious obligation. Meanwhile, the police have been directed to vigorously enforce the law by ensuring that no live bullets are fired during such ceremonies. Our central regional correspondent, Kensi Nanabuedru, reports.
The central regional minister, together with members of the Central Regional Security Council, RESPEC, have paid a visit to Ekunfi Eshatil, where the shooting incident took place during the coronation of the chief of the area. He first visited the assembly where he was briefed, and later to the chief, and also met the families of the deceased, the four people who lost their lives during the incident. What transpired there is that the families of the dead are requesting the police to release the bodies of the dead for them so they can commence the burial ceremonies as soon as possible. They are saying that the community is a Muslim community, and as the Muslim tradition goes, they don't waste time when it comes to this. But the police also say that they are also doing their investigation, and even if the bodies will have to be released to them as soon as possible, they need to be sent to the Cape Coast Teaching Hospital for autopsy to be conducted on them before they will be released. So they are looking at the possibility of doing it as fast as possible so that their bodies will be released for the burial, so far as Islamic tradition was concerned. But then the Central Regional Minister directed the police that and the security agencies to ensure that this musketry, when it comes during ceremonies, they will use gunpowder, because that is what is expected to be used, but not live bullets, as in this case. We have directed that this is a law that is there, but it looks as if we don't really put so much emphasis on them. So the communities and other areas, when they are celebrating their festivals and ceremonies like that, they just gross it and be using the live bullets. So from henceforth, they should ensure and insist that such occasions, during the musketry, whatever program, they will not use a proper live bullet, but then they will use gunpowder as far as those things are concerned. Again, the minister directed that families of the dead, they are the Regional Coordinating Council and the Ekunfi District Assembly, will be liaising together to see how best they will support or assist the families. This was upon a request by the spokesperson of the families who have lost their loved ones. That there's one, there's a 40-year man who died, left behind 6 children and a widow who is even also pregnant. So they requested that if there's any possibility of the regional minister, of course, government, in assisting them. This, the central regional minister said, you continue to be talking to the assembly so that they will see how best they will be able to assist the 6 children and the pregnant woman, and of course, some of the victims, such as the one who sustained serious injury and has been referred to at the Kolebu Teaching Hospital. He, however, expressed the condolences of the government and the Regional Coordinating Council and all to the three families, and assured them that government will continue to be behind them in this difficult period.
Kingsley Nanabuedu reporting.
Now, the Public Relations Office of the Ghana Petroleum Authority, Yaro Kasambata, has attributed the recent fuel shortage to the Christmas holidays and reduction of petroleum products in the storage. He has therefore assured the general public that by tomorrow, the situation will be under control. He said this on Radio Ghana's current affairs program behind the news.
What was responsible were two key factors. The first one is the holiday breaks we had. The holiday breaks were said that the airports did not work full time. Those who even worked did not work at full capacity. So the output of products onto the market was reduced. We also had a reduction in the quantity of petrol that we had in our storage, coupled with high consumption over the Christmas festive season, were said that we could not replenish the stock within that short time because the vessels that were scheduled to arrive indicated to us that they were running late because of bad weather. They have since arrived because all of these are in the past, because they have since delivered the stock and we have put into the market appreciable quantities. There are vessels of 60 million liters of petrol and some are still being discharged into our storage. So this is what accounted for the issue to do with the pocket ushers that we've had in part of the city.
Piero, you are public relations officer of the National Petroleum Authority, which means that you may be aware of some of these problems which I may describe as recyclical. But doesn't mean you didn't put in place contingency measures to contain the situation.
The issue with the vessel delay was the main factor. That was not foreseeable. What we're dealing with the low output onto the market was not something that just happened. It has always been the case every year. Even when you are now on break, these facilities work, but they don't work at full capacity. So products get to the market, but they don't get to the market at the quantity that they do on a normal working day or during normal working hours. Okay, so it is the first factor is an issue because coupled with the delay in arrival of stocks to replenish what we had used is what caused ripples that you're having now. We have the situation under control. The quantity of products we have in our storage now is more than the consumer can contain. And so the ripples you're having is as a result of what took place during the Christmas holiday. And so we have worked in the last 48 to 36 hours to ensure that we increase the quantity of products onto the market.
That was the public relations officer of the National Petroleum Authority, Yaru Kasambata.
The Ghana Registered Nurses Association is calling on government and stakeholders in the health sector to, as a matter of urgency, restore the conversion difference of the single spine to avert any labor agitation in the near future. It also considers reasons given for the abolition of the allowances for nurses and midwife trainees as a lame argument, saying the payment of allowances is justifiable as it gives quality and accelerated training. The president of the association, Kwekwe Santekrobia, expressed these sentiments at a national council meeting in Accra to discuss challenges facing the association. We bring you a report by Rita Nyakon and Sheena Sitiyama.
Mr. Santekrobia noted that it is disheartening that since the implementation of the single spine salary structure, members have not been paid the proposed incremental credit. He added that the market premium payment to public sector workers is also under some threat of reduction. Mr. Santekrobia said the association is unhappy about the abolition of import duty waiver of smaller engine cars. He said this incentive package, which was being offered to some public sector professionals, benefited nurses and midwives, and this abolishment will affect their members since it is difficult for them to purchase vehicles. Mr. Santekrobia explained why the association is against the abolition of nurses and midwives training allowance.
Fortunately, at this moment, we have not received any official communication by government or the Ministry of Health that the allowances of our trainees in the various institutions are going to be abolished. A lot of discussions have gone on suggesting the abolition of the trainee allowances of nurses and midwives. Proponents hold the view that the social intervention and popular idea from the viewpoint of the association has outlived its usefulness. The association considered reasons adduced for the abolition of the allowances as a lame argument. Or we hold the position that paying allowances for nurse and midwife trainees, if anything at all, is more justifiable than ever. The training program for them have become more complex and more demanding, requiring free grants and financial support to enable the trainees to take care of costs that are supposed to be borne by the training facility and not the students themselves.
The GRNA is therefore calling on governments and stakeholders in the health sector to, as a matter of urgency, reconsider and address their sentiments. The association also asks government to resource all health facilities to ensure safety and confidence at the workplace.
That report was filed by Rita Nyako and Sheena Fichiyama.
The Minister of Lands and Natural Resources, Alhaji Nusuf Husseini, has asked potential land buyers to look for the title of lands before buying. This, he noted, will minimize multiple sale of lands to innocent individuals. He spoke to Ibrahim Kwating on Behind the News.
I think that what we should all do and try to do is, first of all, before you purchase land, search the title of the land. You can't just go and believe that this person who is a chief or a prince or a royal of a family within the area that you want to acquire the land has title or capacity to sell you them. And if you search, even though they might not be clear, the search report might not give you clearly who is the particular owner, but the search report will tell you whether that land is government land or not government land. That's the first thing. The search report will tell you within which jurisdiction that land lies. That, those things have been done already, and that will minimize the speed of confusion that we have now.
Now, in terms of policy directives, how does one acquire land in Ghana, either for private housing venture or commercial venture?
The land, particularly, we have two types of land in Ghana. Generally, we have government land and private land. Private land are lands that are owned by the schools, the kings, the families and clans. So if we are going to acquire land, the land must either come from public or from private. If it is from public, that is government, and you acquire the land legally from government, that is the highest indefeasible title one can obtain in this country. Private land, because families have grown, title to the land, or I mean people claim title to the land have increased, before you acquire land for private investment from a private sector or private person, you must research the title of that land.
Alhaj Hussaini also cautions the public to be careful when dealing with people who call themselves estate developers and sell land to individuals.
A lot of information is being gathered that clearly shows that anybody dealing with an estate agent who purportedly acquired land from a traditional area must do so with his eyes open, because some of them clearly are falling into the same trap that have been laid by individuals, and which individuals have caught others unsuspectedly into those traps. And so what I'm just simply saying is that anybody dealing with an estate agent who says he has acquired land must do so with his eyes open.
Health Minister of Lands and Natural Resources, Alhaji Yusuf Hussaini.
For his part, a lawyer at the Faculty of Law, University of Ghana, Kwame Jam, emphasized the need to have proper demarcation of lands among the various two lands. This, according to him, will reduce to the barest minimum the challenges facing land litigation. Mr. Jam called on the courts to expedite cases that involve land litigation.
We all know who settled first and who followed and so on. But since land became a tradable commodity, it's a money-making business. People are not telling the truth anymore about their boundaries. So that is one of the problems. So until we determine the boundaries of the large landowners, innocent purchasers of land would be suffering when the landowners are fighting over their boundaries, because I will give you and Teshi will go and give. That is one of the problems. Being the large landowners, they are contests as to who are the proper persons to grant.
And there seems to be no end in sight to the problems. I'm listening carefully to you. So, but we still have to solve the problem in one way or the other. How do we deal
now
with this?
One way of solving the problem is to determine the boundaries of the large landowners. And then we should also alert prospective purchasers of land that they must be on the lookout. In land law, there is a legal principle which we've been talking about. It's in Latin. And the Latin phrase is to alert the buyer that he should open his eyes. In Latin, we say, caveat emptor. Country people generally don't like to pay for professional services. So they will go and negotiate and pay only to realize after the fact that he dealt with the wrong person. So a little bit of due diligence is important. Now, there is also the problem of the court and the delays in handling court cases in the land sector. Some land cases can take more than 3 decades, 30 years. So it appears to me that the courts must also change the rules so that land cases can be heard more expeditiously.
A lawyer at the Faculty of Law, University of Ghana, Kwame Jan. This news comes to you from Radio Ghana, Accra. The mega stories. Police arrest National Security Officer for alleged murder of former NPP Vice Chairman for Dom constituency. Suspected murderer of 32-year-old Stanbic Bank female staff faces provisional charge of murder after pleading guilty. Minister of Lands and Natural Resources cautions against dealings with so-called estate developers in the sale of lands. Egyptians vote on new constitution to pave the way for fresh elections. Pope Francis condemns abortion, describing it as horrific symptom of throwaway culture. And football, Portuguese striker Ronaldo wins FIFA Player of the Year award. The Speaker of Parliament, Dr. Eduardo Ajao, has applauded the work of reporters and editors of the Hansa Department of Parliament for the yeoman's work they have been doing over the years. He said the Hansard of Parliament, which is the official record of proceedings in the House, is a defender of the truth. The Speaker said while the verbatim report exposes dishonest politicians, it in the same light vindicates sincere and honest politicians. Dr. Jao said this when he opened the 6th biennial conference of the Commonwealth Hansard Editors Association Africa Region Chair in Accra. He said the pivotal role played by a country's parliamentary Hansard makes it imperative for legislative bodies to strengthen the department to churn out accurate records for posterity. Augustus Akwei has the details.
The Hansard was named after a 19th century English publisher of parliamentary debates, Thomas Kirsten Hansard. The Speaker of Parliament, Edward Duwaja, who said his years as an MP has seen him appreciating a lot more the value of the Hansard in not only understanding a particular parliament, but also as a tool to guide the work of an MP. He pointed out how he was guided by the Hansard in his recent ruling in Parliament.
As one of the key documents for president on parliamentary proceedings to make my ruling in the chamber, particularly as the process on the compilation of the rulings of the Speaker in our Parliament is yet to be completed. Indeed, only last week, Monday, I had made a ruling of the chair on a matter relating to the staff judicial rule. I relied heavily on the precedent alluded to by one of my predecessors and quoted from portions of ruling contained in the Hansard of 13 December 2001. I have received telephone calls by somebody on the radio, former MP, was accusing the president and my good self of collecting debt on a motion that was moved on the floor of the House. Articles sent for the Hansard were then in opposition. I wanted a debate for the minority. And we didn't only take a voice vote, we did a head count on that particular issue. And no member of the minority voted for that particular motion. The question then, whether we were bred to oppose the motion. And clearly, the Hansard indicates my good self and indeed the president.
The president of the Commonwealth Hansard Editors Association, Africa Region, Akim Musonda, said the association has proved to be a useful platform for cooperating and networking among members. He said editors of the Hansard ensure that accurate, unbiased and factual account of what happens in Parliament are recorded. Mr. Musonda said the conferences afford members the opportunity to adopt best approaches to ensuring the debates and records of Parliament are properly documented. A major feature of this year's meeting is how technology can be brought on board in the preparation of Hansards. Some participants Radio Ghana spoke to were upbeat about learning new dimensions to employing technology in their work.
A shift from maybe an analog kind of system to a digital one will be much helpful because it's more efficient, and more efficiency means that even the official records are available more accurately and at a faster rate than if you're going to use an analog system.
I really expect that much, particularly in the IC. Involvement, because we are now moving from analog style to digital, and we are indeed want to transform our parliament to what we call intelligent parliament. When you look into public participation, for people to participate in parliament, although Hansard was really informative to the people, but how can we make the inputs of people into Hansard more efficient and user friendly, so that people don't have to travel from distance to come to parliament?
A Hansard editor of the Lesotho Parliament, Nsense Kori, ending Augustus Akwe's report.
Ghana and Ethiopia have reaffirmed their commitment to strengthen bilateral cooperation in the areas of commerce, trade, agriculture and security. The agreement to this effect was signed between Ghana's Foreign Minister Hanna Tete and her Ethiopian counterpart Dr. Tedros Adhanom in Accra. Mr. Tese, though the two countries have had long-standing relations since the colonial days, the agenda of government is to deepen the relations to foster more collaboration.
One of the things that I think this 50th anniversary celebration of the OAU has brought to all of us is the need for closer collaboration, standing together and working together as much as possible to achieve our common objectives. Honourable Minister, you are very much aware that it is through taking common united positions that we've been able to deal with the challenges that have come our way as a continent in the immediate past year. And we can talk about the conflict that has emerged in different parts of the continent without mentioning specific countries. Talk about the challenges to democratic governance, but then also talk about some of the international legal challenges that we've had as well. Whatever we've been able to overcome, whatever we've been able to address, is when we have taken a common stance. It is the view of President Mahama that we should continue with the progressive agenda of reaching out to the rest of Africa, as well as to the rest of the world. And so it's in that spirit that we look forward not just to having the opportunity to sign this agreement today, but making sure that we actualize it.
Minister of Foreign Affairs, Hannah Tete. The Ethiopian Minister of Foreign Affairs, Dr. Tedros Adhanom, lauded Ghana's stability and economic development. He believes effective collaboration between the two countries will ensure exchange of ideas and help fulfill the dream of Ghana's first president, Dr. Kwame Nkrumah, in pushing for continental unity and integration.
On the foreign front, Egyptians are to vote in a referendum on a new constitution, which could pave the way for fresh elections. The new charter aims to replace the constitution passed under Islamist President Mohamed Morsi months before he was ousted by the army. Reports say the military wants a strong yes vote as a popular endorsement of Mr. Morsi's removal. Mr. Morsi's Muslim Brotherhood, which has since been designated a terrorist group, has called for a boycott. A huge security operation is being mounted amid fears of violence.
Thousands of Thai anti-government demonstrators are still protesting across Bangkok after the first night in several major intersections of the city as part of their planned shutdown in the capital. The mood at the Path 1 intersection was still festive, with protesters listening to speakers and blowing whistles. One of the protesters said Prime Minister Yemi Osinbajo's resignation is the only solution to their problems.
The Mexican government has announced that federal troops will take over security in an area where vigilante groups and a drugs cartel are clashing. Mexican Interior Minister Miguel Angel Osorio Chong urged the vigilantes to lay down their weapons, warning that there will be no tolerance for those who continue fighting. The self-defense groups seized several small towns in the western state of Michoacán over the past week. They maintain they are fighting for the freedom of their communities from the notorious Knights Templar cartel.
Pope Francis has issued his strongest condemnation yet of abortion, calling it a horrific symptom of a throwaway culture that plays too little value on human life. He said it is frightful to think about early pregnancy terminations. Since his election in March, the Pope has not spoken out against abortion as sternly as his predecessors. He made the comment in his yearly State of the World address to diplomats accredited to the Vatican.
Football. The local Black Stars yesterday beat Congo 1-0 in a first Group C match at the ongoing African Nations Cup Championship CHAN at the Free State Stadium in Bloemfontein, South Africa. The Stars got the only goal of the match through defender Theophilos Anoba in the 35th minute. Both teams missed glaring chances, with the Congolese being the worst culprits. The Black Stars ended the half the better side. The Congolese player, Boris Mublis, received the first yellow card after fouling winger Richard Mpong in the 8th minute. The Congolese resumed the second half on a high pedestal and dictated the pace of the game with the hope of equalizing, but erratic shooting in front of Ghana's goal area and the defensive setup of the Stars thwarted all their efforts. Central defender Kwabena Duse took care of all the aerial balls into Ghana's goal area. Striker Yaya Mohamed, who covered almost every grass, was booked in the 75th minute for fouling a Congolese defender. The second half also presented both sides with free kicks close to the 18-yard box, but they were all wasted. At the stadium to watch the match were officials of CAF, led by its president Issa Hayatu, and Ghana's deputy minister of youth and sports, Joseph Yamin.
Now, Real Madrid's Cristiano Ronaldo has beaten Barcelona's Lionel Messi and Frank Ribery of Bayern Munich to the 2013 FIFA Ballon d'Or. The 28-year-old Portuguese captain was named the World Player of the Year by national coaches, captains and journalists. He claimed the award with a total of 1,365 points ahead of Messi with 1,205 and Ribery 1,127. The votes were cast by 184 coaches, 184 national captains and 173 members of the global media.
Now to the news and main points again. A national security officer has been arrested for the suspected murder of former NPP vice chairman for Domo constituency, Patrick Obukuba, in June 2009. The suspect, Wahab Nakpa, and two other accomplices attacked the house of Mr. Okuba and robbed him of his cash and other personal belongings before shooting him dead. A 25-year-old welder, Abraham Barr Kwame Oyote, suspected to have murdered the 32-year-old Stanbic Bank staff, Rosemond Nyampong, in a residence at Batrina, has confessed and pleaded guilty. The police said the suspect made a confession after further interrogations. He has therefore been charged with provisional murder and again remanded in prison custody by the Tema Magistrate Court. And the Minister of Lands and Natural Resources, Alhaji Yusuf Hussaini, has asked potential land buyers to be critical on land titles before purchasing lands. This, according to him, will minimize multiple sale of lands to unsuspecting individuals. The news was presented by Samuel Essa.
And story Nampofina Kwa.